Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as Christians in the United States, it has become the common rule for all of us to pursue our Christian stewardship in such a way that we try to put our money to work as best as possible. And like the king here in our story, most of us in the faculty entrust a servant with our money, usually an agent from Thrivent, to put it to work. And once a year, we meet with them and together we review our portfolio and discuss the market and the ways to make more money of that what we have given him. At the latest meeting, I must admit, I felt close to firing my agent because he was not really putting the money to work as I had thought he should. But with all parables here, really, there's a far deeper meaning to this text. And we ourselves here are to ask, what exactly is God entrusting us with that we should be putting to use? And when he returns, will you be pleased with that, what we are doing with it? For we know that the king was pleased with two servants, and with a third he was not, telling him these harsh words, "Everyone who has, more will be given, the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away." What then has been given to us, and what should we do with it? As true Lutherans, we know very well that the foremost gifts given to us are word and sacrament. That sounds very obvious, but we really need to think this through so that we as Christians and as pastors especially can put these gifts to use that God has entrusted us with. Where Christians are gathered, it says, there the word must be purely preached and the sacraments rightly administered. And so to all us, to pastors and missionaries alike, we must put them to use for the sheep and also for all unbelievers. We must rebuke them. We must reveal their sins, administer baptism, and strengthen their faith with the Lord's Supper. There's an obligation, kind of a corporate obligation on the church, that we are not to be stingy with these means of grace, but apply them generously and frequently to the sheep and to the world around us. And then secondly, they are also all Christians, and us included, who must come when they are invited. They should hear God's words willingly and frequently. But like three servants, each Christian really is given the same gifts, but they are treating them differently. Some hear them, some receive them, some reject them, some do not want to accept them into their life. Others are enriched and strengthened by the words of God. Some find them comforting, whereas others are disappointed and leave home empty-hearted. The first thing is that we Christians should always expose ourselves to the means as often as we can. We must hear it, we must treasure them, and we must receive them. Are we willing to be rebuked, we should ask, by the law? Are we willing to hear that we have been wronged and that we are doing wrong all the time? But are we also then willing to receive God's words of forgiveness? You see, there is a lot at stake here. We'll lose the life that God wishes to bring us, and we'll be parted from him forever. Martin Luther, in kind of a prophetic way, looked at the Germans in the 16th century and told them that their scorning of God's word will bring the judgment upon them. And how true he was, looking at the situation today in Europe. God's word will be taken away, and it will be passed on to other people. There are those Christians then who reject God's word, those who do not wish to be comforted in the times of trouble, and those who do not want to seek guidance from it. But then there are those who cling to God's word, they seek from them their blessings, and they are richly endowed with them. Like each servant begins with one minor, all Christians are baptized and receive the Lord's Supper, but the results and the outcomes are different. To use an example, and I don't know whether this is a good one. If you were to take, for example, the 100-yard dash, where all runners have to take up the same line to begin with, and then after 15 or so seconds, depending on how fast you can run, you will turn up at the end in a different stage than the other runners. They all have been given, Christians, the same gifts, but the fruits and the outcome from the word in the life of Christians differs. And that is especially in regard to the spiritual gifts given to us, faith, love, and hope. Some speak their faith more than others and better. Some extend their love to the needy better than others. And some lift up the downtrodden with their hope better than others. Some multiply their gifts tenfold, others fivefold, and others just sit on them. Who is now to blame for all of this, we may ask? Certainly not God. And it is good, though, that God is the judge, not we ourselves over others. For who of us really knows who has multiplied his gifts 10 times or 5 times or has not done so at all? And our text here is placed in the last chapters of the book of Luke. That means we are reminded here of the coming end, the return of the Lord and a life in heaven. But we are also being told of our failures and our shortcomings then, just as we are now being told them today. But that means precisely this, that we should always stay close to the true gifts that God has given his church. Stay close to his word, and the dividends will be paid out. The blessings will come your way, and you will be given faith, love, hope, and all the strength to fulfill those that you are given. First article gifts as well. And you can use them in this worldly life, not in a meritorious way, but out of joy and to the best of our abilities. I want to close with one hymn which we all know, O God, my faithful God. The second stanza, I think, sums it up best. Give me the strength to do with ready heart and willing whatever you command, my calling here fulfilling. Help me do what I should with all my might and bless the outcome for my good, for you must give success. This we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, that our faith in your sight may never be reproved. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have entrusted children to their parents, that they may have life, not death, that they may know you and not be lost to sin. Bless all pregnant mothers, sustain them through childbirth, and turn the hearts of all that contemplate and carry out abortion, that they would repent and delight in your provision and forgiving mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We pray for the Reverend Mark Schaefer and his family at the unexpected death of his father, Bill Schaefer. O Lord God, by this sudden death of our brother, you have shown that your thoughts are not our thoughts, nor your ways our ways. We thank you for the blessings of body and soul which you bestowed on Bill, and we pray that you would comfort the Schaefer family who mourn his death. Remind all of us ever to prepare for your final summons, when we will depart and be with Christ in blessedness and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We pray for the people of St. Petersburg, Russia, suffering a hepatitis outbreak. O Lord, you have promised to hear and answer our cries for help and healing, for consolation and relief. Hear the pleas for mercy of your people, O Lord, especially of the people of St. Petersburg, who live under heavy burdens and who are near fainting with pain, sorrow, and sickness. Visit them in their time of need. Sustain with your mighty hand and give healing according to your wisdom and will, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.